The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, an airmail special from 1932 and from 1939, Baby Snooks goes on a hunting trip. We'll also hear an exciting episode of The Cisco Kid. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, Baby Snooks goes on a hunting trip and an exciting episode of The Cisco Kid starring Jack Mather and Harry Lang. Right now, here's an episode of Airmail Mystery from 1932 as WMKY presents The Golden Age of Radio.
Irene Delroy of the Department of Justice and her assistant, Sergeant Fitzgerald, are working night and day on the airmail mystery, which concerns the wrecking and robbing of Transamerican Airlines' fastest airmail planes. Jimmy Gifford, roving newspaper reporter, attracted by the mysterious crashes, has been assisting Miss Delroy and Fitzgerald. Ernest Powers, general manager of Transamerican Lines, reveals to Miss Delroy that he has been conducting investigations of his own following the crashing of 655, piloted by Andy Andrews, crack mail flyer, who was killed by the mail thieves shortly after he was forced down in Devil's Canyon. Powers' investigation has implicated Roberts, the radio operator in charge of Metropolitan Airport. Miss Delroy sends Sergeant Fitzgerald to bring Roberts to the offices for questioning when Fitzgerald reports,
"He's dead, ma'am. Stone dead. A suicide."
"What?
You can't mean that, Fitz."
"It's true. I just seen him. He's in his room, ma'am."
"Oh, there must be something wrong. Are you sure it's Roberts?"
"Sure. I know Roberts. He plugged himself. Square between the eyes. I came right back here to notify you. You'll want to go up there, won't you, ma'am?"
"Certainly, Fitz. Where's Roberts' room?"
"Right between the signal tower and the radio room, ma'am, on the third floor."
"Powers, wasn't he supposed to be on duty tonight?"
Yes, he was."
"Does he live upstairs?"
"Yes, we've fitted out a room for him so he could be near the set. Since we've started night operations on such a large scale, we've had to keep him around most of the time."
"Don't you have a relief operator?"
"Yes, he comes on at 7 in the morning."
"I see. Well, lead the way, Fitz. We'll call for the coroner when we finish our investigation. Coming, Jimmy?"
"Surely, Irene."
"Mr. Powers?"
If you don't mind, I'll stay down here. I'm rather That is, I...
Very well. Go ahead, Sergeant.
Yes, ma'am.
There's something mysterious here. I want to see why Roberts decided to take the easy way out.
Yes, ma'am. You know, I thought it was sort of funny myself. This way, ma'am, up these stairs here.
Do these steps also lead to the signal tower?
Yes, ma'am. Roberts lives in this wing here. Here's the room, ma'am. He's inside.
The door's locked, Fitz.
Yes, ma'am, I locked it. Here's the key, ma'am.
Very good, Sergeant. Was the door locked when you first came up?
No, ma'am. I knocked a couple of times and didn't get no answer, so I just went in.
Key doesn't seem to... Oh, there we are. Now, don't move a thing, Fitz.
No, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Just as I thought. Close the door, Jimmy.
What's wrong, ma'am?
Nothing's wrong, Sergeant. Just a hunch. Turn on that extra light over the bed, Jimmy.
Right.
Did you change this man's position, Fitz?
No, ma'am. I turned his head a little to make sure it was him.
He's dead, all right. There's no doubt about that, Irene. Right between the eyes. Nasty job, too. Look at the size of that hole.
You can spare the details, Jimmy. What I mean is, you didn't change Robert's position on the floor.
No, ma'am, I just... Say, that guy was laying on his face before.
What do you mean, Fitz?
I mean, Roberts was laying face downward when I came downstairs to get you.
Are you sure, Sergeant?
Yes, ma'am. I turned his head a bit to make sure it was Roberts, but I didn't turn his whole body. Holy mackerel, look. His pockets have been emptied.
All right, Sergeant. Also, his inside coat pocket. A hasty job, too.
Say, what's going on around here?
Take it easy, Sergeant. Was that window open when you first came in this room?
I don't remember, ma'am.
I rather believe it was closed. Oh, don't touch it, Jimmy. It may contain fingerprints.
You mean Roberts wasn't a suicide?
Did I say that, Jimmy?
Well, no, but...
It's bad practice to jump at conclusions, even in this business. Let's take a look at things. When I sent you to look for Roberts, Fitz, where did you go?
I went downstairs to the radio room. But there wasn't anybody there, so I looked out on the grounds, and there wasn't nobody there either. Well, I called the hangar, and the night mechanic said Roberts hadn't been there since he'd serviced the 9 o'clock plane.
Oh, what, Fitz? Don't take all night.
Well, so I asked the switchboard dame where he was, and she says, ain't he with you? No, he ain't with us, I tells her. So then she says he was up in his room a few minutes ago, and so I comes up here, and I find him.
You say the door was open?
Yes, ma'am.
Were the lights on?
Yes, ma'am, except the one we turned on just now.
And you don't remember about the window?
No, ma'am.
How about this closet door, Fitz? Was it open or closed?
Closed, just like it is now.
Did you open it?
No, ma'am. I went right downstairs to get you.
Too bad, Fitz. Had you opened that door, you'd probably come face to face with someone who could have given us a little light on this mystery.
You think that somebody killed Roberts and then hid in that closet?
I didn't say he killed Roberts. Roberts' death may or may not be suicide, but I do know that somebody has been in this closet. He may still be in there for all we know.
Yeah?
Open the door, Jimmy. And stand back.
It's empty, Irene.
Just a minute, Jimmy. I'm going to step into that closet. Mm-hmm. I was right, Fitz. Someone had been in this closet for quite a while. Feel the temperature in here.
Oh, you can't tell that way, ma'am. You've got to look for cigarettes and papers.
That's all right in this place, Fitz, but I know definitely that someone has been hiding in this closet for quite some time. Ooh, it's close in here. Too bad you didn't open the door to the closet, Fitz.
Do you think Roberts was killed, Irene?
I don't know. The sergeant told us it was suicide. How did you figure that out, Fitz?
Well, ma'am, the gun was right in his hand, and there's powder marks on his face. And here's the customary suicide note on his smoking stand.
Oh, a note.
Read it, ma'am. Maybe you can figure it out.
Addressed to Powers.
What does it say?
It says, Powers, I've been deceiving you long enough. I am the one who has been tipping the mail thieves to valuable shipments on our planes. Andrew's death tonight was too much for me. I didn't intend to be connected with murder. Send my company insurance to my wife.
No signature?
No signature. Did you check this handwriting, Fitz?
Not yet, ma'am.
Take it downstairs and check it with Robert's report.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
And Sergeant.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell that switchboard operator to come up here.
Yes, ma'am.
What can I do, Irene?
You might see if there's anything left in Robert's pocket, Jimmy, while I use his phone.
Okay.
Hello. Give me Powers' office, please. Look in the vest pocket, too, Jimmy. Hello, Powers. We're upstairs. I want you to call out the entire night force at once. Have them search the grounds and buildings around the airport for any strange characters and bring anyone they find here. Understand? Good. Give me an outside line, please. What's that, Jimmy?
A notebook, Irene. I found it in the vest pocket.
Save it a minute. Hello, operator. Get me police headquarters. What type of a notebook is it? Hello. I want to speak to the night captain in charge of homicide. Yes. Hello? This is Irene Delroy, Department of Justice. Code Tantrex. Right. Look, we're out at Transamerican offices at Metropolitan Airport. There's been a man killed here tonight. It may be suicide. And again, it may not be. I want you to send us your best fingerprint man and a photographer. That's right. Let's see that notebook, Jimmy. Roberts was mixed up in those robberies. Look at these notations.
What are they, Irene?
Expense figures. Listen. Salary the 15, $75. Rent, $35. Groceries, $30. Furniture payment, $7.50. Do you think Roberts would be figuring small items like those if he was getting a cut on the mail robberies?
It doesn't seem right, does it?
Not to me, Jimmy. At least I fixed the time of Roberts' murder.
Murder?
That's what I said, Jimmy. There's no doubt about it.
But Irene,
of course, the evidence is a bit lacking. But mark my words, someone waited for Roberts in this room and for some reason killed him.
You think that Roberts was mixed up in these robberies?
That remains to be seen. I do know, however, that he was killed deliberately.
And your reason?
Just guesswork so far, Jimmy. There may have been something in this room that Roberts needed. He came up here, probably spent a few minutes getting whatever he came after. Then he walks over and opens the door of his closet and gets a bullet right between the eyes.
And the murderer?
Drags Robert's body away from the door, puts the gun in his hand, and starts looking for whatever he came after. The telephone rings. He's afraid not to answer. So he just says, all right, and hangs up. Before he's finished, the sergeant knocks on the door, and he has to duck back into the closet.
You mean that he was in that closet when the sergeant entered the room?
Yes. And it's probably just as well that the sergeant didn't open the door, or he'd probably be with Robert. Jimmy, this whole business is a mixed-up... Hello? What's that? You see it? We'll see you right away. Quick, Jimmy, that was Powell.
Yes?
He says there's someone fooling around in the radio room up here.
What?
He says he heard the set go on the air, and there's no one downstairs at the panel. Whoever it is must be in the room right next to us.
You suppose it could be
I don't know, Jimmy. We're not going to take any chances. We're going into that room and find out. Have your gun ready. If he makes any move at all, shoot and shoot to kill.
Ladies and gentlemen, the chief hope of our enemies is to divide the United States along racial and religious lines and thereby conquer us. Let's not spread prejudice. A divided America is a weak America. Through our behavior, we encourage the respect of our children and make them better neighbors to all races and religions. Remind them that being good neighbors has helped make our country great and kept her free. Thank you.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is Fanny Bryce's Baby Snooks. I'm beginning to believe that Daddy, played by Hanley Stafford, needs a few lessons in child-rearing. This time, he has allowed Snooks to talk him into taking her on a hunting trip. As the scene opens, we find them stalking game on the side of a wooded mountain miles from the camp. Now listen.
Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. John and Blackie...
Snooks, save your breath. This is very rugged country. Tough climbing.
No, it ain't. It's easy.
Well, we'd better stop and let you get some rest.
I don't want to rest. I like it.
I insist. You must rest.
Why?
Because you're only a little child.
Are you going to faint, Daddy?
No. But you're too small to put such a strain on your system. This kind of exertion might even cause an exacerbation of your viscera.
You think so, huh?
I certainly do. Now, what kind of a father would I be to let you weigh yourself out like that? Sit on this rock.
We just rested over there.
I know, but I brought you on this hunting trip, and it's up to me to see that you don't overexert yourself. That's why I keep making you stop and rest every few yards. Understand?
Because you're fat, sissy, and you can't walk.
Nothing of the sort. I've hunted over much tougher country than this. It's just that I'm a little out of condition. Besides, this shotgun weighs a few pounds, you know.
I'll carry it, Daddy.
No. You've got enough there with my coat. And those shells. And the canteen. And the game bag.
And a lunchbox.
Well, you carry the shotgun and I'll take that heavy game bag off your hands.
There's nothing in the bag, Daddy.
Well, don't worry. There'll soon be plenty in it. They didn't call me Crackshot Higgins for nothing, you know.
Crackpot Higgins?
Crackshot. Who calls me Crackpot?
You know.
I don't know anything of the kind. And you'd be a lot better off if you didn't repeat everything your mother says.
Well, I want to see you shoot a whale.
Not whale. Quail. We're quail hunting.
I don't see nothing.
Well, it's near the end of the season, and the birds are gun-shy. But I know we're catching up with a bevy right now.
How do you know?
Now, here. Look at these little tracks. See those scratchy marks in the sand? They've been feeding here not 10 minutes ago.
Have they?
Why, sure. I'm a terrific woodsman. Can't fool me on any kind of tracks. Didn't know your old dad was strictly an outdoors, Charlie, did you?
I think you're wonderful, Charlie.
From these little marks, I can tell there was around 11 quail in the bunch, and they've been feeding on holly berries, and they've headed south by southeast. I'm not so hot on this bird stuff anyway. I'm a big game man.
Let's play a game, Daddy.
There's no playing with this kind of game. You're looking at a man who hunted bear in Alaska.
In Alaska?
You heard me.
You was hunting bear?
That's right.
Didn't he put on underwear?
Certainly I put on underwear. I was fully dressed. The object of the hunt was a bear. The chase lasted nearly 4 days.
But the bear couldn't catch you.
No, I climbed a tree. What do you mean? I tracked that great big she-bear day and night. And finally cornered her against the side of a hill. I raised my rifle and threw a bead on her. But suddenly I decided not to shoot her.
Why?
She didn't have the right expression for a rug. That's a joke.
Funny, isn't it?
Well, I think so. Well, shall we move along?
All right.
All right, try not to make any noise.
No, we don't.
You may jump some quail around here. Say over to my left.
Daddy!
What is it?
Look at what I got.
What have you got?
A pretty little pussycat.
Oh, snooks.
Ain't she cute?
Put that down. Let it go, quick.
Why?
Because it's not a cat, it's a... Oh!
What's that funny smell, Daddy?
Come on. Let's get out of here. Hurry.
Aren't we going to hunt some blue whales?
We're not going to hunt anything. Come on, hurry. There's no game around here anyway.
Well, I want to eat.
Now, you'll eat as soon as we get back. Come on, let me carry all that stuff. Oh, I should have known better than to take you along. Come on, move a little faster.
Oh, I want to eat, Daddy.
I don't see how you can stand the thought of food after what happened. You must have an appetite like a crocodile.
I want to eat a crocodile.
Oh, stop it. I'll take care of you when we get back to camp. Oh, what a trip. Haven't even shot my gun once.
I see something, Daddy.
Where?
Right there. Ain't that a whale?
Shh, look out. Oh, just my luck. It's a pheasant.
Shoot it, Daddy.
Oh, how I'd love to. But the season's closed on pheasant. I'm not allowed to shoot it.
Why?
If I get caught shooting a pheasant out of season, they'd throw me in jail.
I won't tell nobody.
Could be in self-defense. And if a snoopy old game warden comes around, I'll pin his ears back.
Will you, Daddy?
You bet. Here, I level my gun and you pull the trigger.
All right. Now?
Now.
We got him, Daddy.
Quick, let's stuff him in the bag. Oh, good thing there's nobody around.
Hello, buddy.
Oh, hello, mister.
Any luck?
No, not a thing. Haven't even seen any game.
Thought I just heard a shotgun.
My daddy just shot a peasant.
Huh? Oh, yes, yeah.
What's that in your game bag?
What business is it of yours?
I happen to be the game warden.
Oh.
Canadian back, Daddy.
What have you got in that bag?
Why, nothing. Honest, you can ask the child. She wouldn't lie. There's nothing in the bag, is there, Snooksy?
Yes, Daddy.
Oh, what a hunting trip.
Elijah was a wooden Indian standing by the door. He fell in love with an Indian maid over in the antique store. Elijah just stood there and never let it show, so she could never answer yes or no. He always wore his Sunday feathers and held a Tommy Hall. The maiden wore her beads and braids and hoped someday he'd talk. Elijah, too stubborn to ever show a sign, because his heart was made of knotty pine. Poor old Elijah, he never got a kiss. Poor Elijah, he don't know what he missed. Elijah, that poor old wooden head. Never went nowhere. His heart was set on the Indian maid with the coal black hair. Elijah just stood there and never let it show, so she could never answer yes or no. And then one day a wealthy customer bought the Indian maid and took her oh so far away, but old Elijah stayed. Elijah just stands there as lonely as can be, and wishes he was still an old pine tree. Oh, Elijah, he never got a kiss. Oh, Elijah, he don't know what he missed. Elijah, that poor old wooden head.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio. Hank Williams and Elijah from 1952. We also heard Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks from 1939 and an episode of Airmail Mystery from 1932. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues, I'm Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Jack Mather and Harry Lang star in The Cisco Kid on an episode entitled The Man Trapped in the Cave as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Here's adventure. Here's romance. Here's the famous Robin Hood of the Old West.
Cisco, the sheriff, he is getting closer.
This way, Pancho. Vamano.
The Cisco Kid.
A now to tonight's exciting story of the Cisco Kid. It's about noontime of a blistering hot day as our story opens, and Cisco and Pancho, not caring much where their paths might take them, have wandered into a small town whose main street is almost deserted in the midday heat.
Have you ever been in this town before, Cisco?
No, I do not think so, amigo. I do not recognize anything here.
Well, it not matter to Pancho. All what matters is we find some shade and a place to eat. Pancho not want to bother to cook any food today.
Neither do I. Yeah, look. There's the post office.
Where?
This is the town of Meadville.
Pancho never hear of it. We not been here before, Pancho sure.
No. There's a place where we might eat. Desert Joe's.
Yeah. Santo Pancho hope it's cooler than the desert inside.
Well, we can try it and find out. Oh, diablo.
Oh, loco. Oh, my goodness me. It's awful hot, amigo.
Si. Madre mía. That hombre must be in an awful hurry. Look at the way he's riding that horse.
Si. And the horse is so loud it may be white or it may be black. Pancho, I can see the color.
Yeah. Over there. Over there. Oh,
blast
your
wool,
I said. Oh,
well,
learning to try to throw me.
Madre mía, he beat that horse.
Hola, señor. There is no way to treat that horse. First you ride him too hard, and then you beat him. Now, do not do that.
Mind your own business, stranger. I'll handle this horse the way I please.
You will not beat him again.
Give me that whip, blaster.
I will as soon as you cool down a little.
Give me that whip.
All right. I do not want to have any trouble. He's too hot. There is the whip.
Now I'll give you a taste of it.
That is too much, hombre. You will not use that whip on me.
Find out whether I do or not.
Oh, see?
Ain't it fast, Cisco? It's too hot to fight today. Santo, it's even too hot to watch you fight.
He will not last long.
Bravo. Oh, get away with this. I'll fish you.
One more, Cisco. One more.
And as for the whip. There, hombre. At least you will not use that whip anymore.
Found you. We're not finished yet. Not by a long sight. You'll hear from me again. Just wait and see.
Hombre, I would not wait 10 seconds to see you. Adios. Come, amigo.
Yeah.
Let us go inside and eat.
Si, Cisco. It's funny, but that five give Pancho a very big appetite. See, there's just enough excitement to make Pancho very hungry.
Howdy, Jack. Come in.
You know why I'm here, Brian?
I reckon I do, Jack. I want to talk to you about that. Say, what in thunder happened to you? You look like some bronc used your face for a doormat.
Never mind that. You're supposed to make your final payment on this outfit 2 days from now, Brian. Got the money ready for me?
Well, no, I haven't, Jack, and I'm afraid I won't have either. It's what I wanted to talk to you about. In fact, I was just getting ready to come into town and talk with you at your office.
Any talking we've got to do, we can do right here. Besides, I don't see what there is to talk about. Either you've got the money to pay for this place or you don't. Simple as that.
Now, listen, Jack, you know what's happened. You know my wife was in the hospital, and you know that it took just about every cent I had to pay for it. Now, I was going to suggest that maybe you could give me, say, a 2 weeks extension on the note.
Look, you pay what you owe me when you're supposed to pay it, or I take this place over. That's all there is to it, Brian.
You mean you won't give me any time?
Why should I?
Why, you... I'd heard you was cheap and hard, but I never thought you was this bad. When I took this place over from you, it was the worst excuse for a cow outfit in the whole country. But I worked on it. I rebuilt most of the buildings. I fertilized and rebuilt the soil so it'd feed cattle. Then I built up a herd to the point where it was paying me something. Now you think you're going to step in and take it all back just because I've had some hard luck. Well, you won't do it, Graff. I'll get the money to pay you off somewhere.
Yeah? Just where, Brian?
I'll borrow it in town, that's what I'll do. I'll borrow it from somebody.
You know there ain't one person who'd lend your money to you, Brian, not against my wishes. No, sir, the people in Meadville know better to do that. It wouldn't be healthy for them.
Well, I'll do something. I'm going to keep this spread if it's the last thing I do. I'll... Hello, son. You better go out again for a while. This man and I are busy.
Mr. Graff's after you for money, isn't he? Donnie told me that everybody in town owes Mr. Graff money.
That's enough, Chuck. You go outside now and wait till I call you.
All right. But look here. I found some rocks in my cave. Look how they shine.
Yes, but now I... Let me see those, son.
Sure. Here. They were lying right in the floor of the cave.
Where is this cave?
Over in the south pasture, right by the Twin
Alders. That's enough, Chuck. Graff, I'm getting more certain every minute that you'll get your money in 2 days. And I'll have a lot more besides. Now get out of here.
Wait, there. Let me see those things. If they're what I think they are...
What you think makes no difference. Go on, get going.
All right, Brian. I'll go. But don't be too sure you'll be able to pay me off. Even if that is gold.
Gold, Dad? Did he call those rocks gold?
He did, Chucky. And that's what I think they are, too.
But how can you find out?
In town at the assayer's office. Come on, son. He'll tell us quick enough. It might well be that when you found these rocks, as you call them, you also found us a new lease on life.
I found out, Jack.
Found out what?
That gold the Bryant kid found. It's a real thing, all right.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I stood across the way from the assayer's office and watched him weigh and test the samples that Bryant took to him. Of course, I couldn't hear him talk, but I could see him laugh all right. Bryant wouldn't have been so blasted happy if it hadn't been gold.
Yeah, it's just my luck. 2 days more and that spread would have been mine. Bryant didn't have a chance of borrowing money enough to pay off his mortgage. And that brat of his had to find a gold vein right on his land. Did you ever hear of such fool luck as that, huh?
Well, he's got it now, but what's to say he's going to keep it? It'd be a mighty easy thing for me to gun him, Jack. Him and the kid.
No, you can't do that. We can't kill him, then 2 days later take over his outfit. No, even I couldn't get away with that. That'd be done some other way. You know, it would look all right if Bryant was to just disappear, though, wouldn't it? Then I could take over without any questions being asked.
Yeah, but how are you going to do that, Jack?
Well, let's take a ride out there and look at that cave the kid found.
All right.
We'll take along a stick or two of dynamite, too. Might be we can just shake the ground around a little so the cave would close right up with Bryant in it.
You think we ever see that hombre you had a fight with, Cisco?
If you mean, do I think he will make any trouble? No, amigo.
But he say get even with you.
Si, si. But that does not worry me much.
No?
He was just in a bad temper, and he took it out on that poor horse. That is all. That hombre has probably forgotten all about it by this time.
Well, maybe so. But he a mean-looking hombre, Pancho, no? And Pancho think maybe he threatened...
Yeah, a niño sitting by the side of the trail holding his foot. Oh, diablo.
Oh, look, boy. Look at the niño now.
What is wrong, Chico?
I turned my ankle. It sure hurts.
Oh, a turned ankle always hurts, Chico. Yeah, let me feel it just to make certain there's nothing broken in it.
All right.
Yeah. Why are you out here all alone?
I shouldn't be out here at all, I guess. I went into town to the assayer's office with my dad, and then he brought me back home. He told me I'd better stay there, but I didn't. I had to see the gold.
Gold? Where is your father now?
He's there, at the cave where I found the gold. And that's why I wanted to go. I started walking, but I twisted my ankle some way. It feels better, though.
Well, there is nothing broken in it, but it is swollen a little. Where is this cave you were going to?
Oh, about a mile and a half farther on.
Well, if your father is there, then I think we had better take you to him. You would like to ride with me, eh?
I'll say so. That's some horse you have, mister. Both of them.
Gracias.
Gee, I've never seen two horses like those. I can't walk very good.
Well, do not try to. I will lift you up. Here we go. Easy, Diablo. There.
This is almost as good as having a gold mine. Riding a horse like this one.
You're very lucky to have a gold mine, Chico. Not many people are so lucky. Up, Diablo, car.
Oh, Blobo. Don't you like to have the gold mine, Chico, full of tortillas?
Well, your father must be very rich.
No, he's poor. Why, just today a man, Mr. Graff, warned Daddy take our ranch away from us if Dad didn't pay him what he owes him. You see, my Ma died just a few weeks ago. She was in the hospital for a long time, and it cost Dad a lot of money.
Oh, I'm very sorry for you, Chico. But there seem to be so many things on your mind. Suppose you start and tell me the whole story. This Senor Graf, and the gold, and the money your father owes, everything. It will take your mind off the soreness in your ankle.
All right, sure. Well, you see, Dad bought this ranch a couple of years ago from Mr. Graf. When Dad bought it, the ranch was in awful shape. The buildings were almost falling down.
That's the cave, all right, huh?
There must be. Yeah. Here comes Bryant out.
Stay back. Don't let him see you.
No, he won't. Hey, look. He's got his brer full of nuggets. That must be a real strike, Jack.
Yeah. And in 2 days, it'll be mine. Look, he's loading them into a saddlebag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now he's going back in for some more, I reckon.
All right. Light that fuse.
Quick. Where are you going to throw the dynamite, Jack?
Right into that entrance. You stand aside as soon as I light it, so I have room to throw.
Yeah, well, get ready. I'm lighting it. Yeah. There.
Give it time now. There she goes.
Hey, and right into the entrance.
She's gonna go. Turn your back!
Ah, get done it, Jack. She's sealed tight. Bryant's done for.
Perfect. He'll stay in there till we get ready to dig out his dead body.
Hey, we forgot about the kid. What'll we do about him, Jack? He must be back at the house.
That's right. We took care of the old man, so I reckon we can take care of the kid, too. Come on. We better be getting away from here.
In just a moment, we'll bring you the exciting climax of tonight's story of The Cisco Kid.
We want the most in flavor for every penny we spend. An extra flavor is just what you do get in our Maxwell House coffee. That wonderful good to the last drop flavor no other coffee has to offer. No coffee but Maxwell House. And there's a good reason why. It's our recipe. The only recipe on this green earth for that good to the last drop flavor. It calls for certain fine varieties of coffee to be blended together just so. It's the one way, the one recipe for that famous Maxwell House flavor. That wonderfully good flavor that's made our coffee America's favorite brand. That's why you find so much more enjoyment when your cup is filled with Maxwell House coffee. So next time you bring home a pound of coffee, make it that familiar blue tin of our Maxwell House. For more flavor, for your money's worth and more, start enjoying coffee that's always good. To the last drop.
And now, back to the Cisco Kid. Knowing full well that Les Bryant has no money with which to pay off his mortgage, Jack Graff, cunning and ruthless, has visions of reclaiming the ranch he once sold to Bryant. But Les's son, Chuck, found some rocks which turned out to be nuggets, which made Graff more anxious than ever to get the land. So willing to try anything to prevent Les from making the payment on the date due, Graff and a henchman dynamite the entrance to the cave where Bryant is mining the gold, and thus trapped him inside. But now, we return to Cisco and Pancho, who have picked up Chuck Bryant, Les's son, and are approaching the cave where Les is entombed.
And so your father will be able to pay this Graff after all, Chucky, eh?
That's right, Cisco. It sure was lucky for us I found those gold rocks.
It was, Chico. You can't think anybody lucky what finds gold.
Now, the cave's right around this bend here. Dad's probably inside working, digging out thousands of dollars worth right now.
Oh, see. You are very rich now, Chico.
We sure are, but it won't... Hey, let's see now.
See?
That's funny. The cave ought to be right there, but...
All I see is loose earth.
There's something wrong, Cisco. something awful wrong. The cave ought to be right where that loose earth is.
Well, perhaps... Santo, hold up,
oh. Hold up, hold up, hold. What do you think, Cisco?
I'm afraid to say what I think. Come on, Chucky. You sit right down there.
A landslide? You don't think Dad... Dad wouldn't be inside.
No. I am sure he is not in there, Chico. But I will call just to make sure.
Señor Bryan. Señor Bryan.
Get me out.
Hey, is this?
We've got to get him out. We've got to get him out of there, Cisco.
Santo, we nothing to dig with but our hands.
Si. Pancho. Huh? Ride to the nearest rancho and get the rancheros to come with picks and shovels.
Picks and shovels.
Go, ride hard, amigo.
Si, amigo.
Here, Logo. Logo, go, boy. Go, go, go.
He'll die in there, Cisco. We gotta get him out quick.
The only thing we can do is dig with our hands until Pancho brings help. Come on, Chucky, we dig.
Do you think we'll get him out, Cisco?
How big is the cave, Chuck?
It's pretty little. Just a little room. Maybe 6 or 7 feet deep and 3 feet wide. Do you think he'll smother Cisco?
No. Depends on how long he has been in there and how long it takes to get him out. But he will not smother. Santo, we cannot let him.
Oh, Loco. Oh, Loco, boy.
Hey there. Where are you going?
Oh, senor. Awful thing happened, senor.
Yeah? What?
Senor Bryant, he's trapped in a cabin. Do hurry. Get the shovels and the picks to help.
Yes, Bryant. Where's the cave in?
By the mile south, by 2 big alder trees. And there's a hole in the ground there. Senor Bryant in there and the entrance cave in. You hurry and get there, senor.
I sure will. I'll get there as fast as I can.
Where the next house to get the help?
Straight up the trail there, about 2 miles.
Well, up, Loco, go! You hurry, senor!
What'll we do with the kid when we get him, Jack?
I don't know yet. We'll decide that when we get him.
Do you think Brian's dead yet?
No, he won't die for hours. There's a lot of air in that cave.
Well, then we'd better...
Hey! Somebody riding this way. Better rein up, Hump. Oh, there.
He's really pounding leather, too.
Coming from the direction of the cave.
Hey, you don't suppose any...
Hey! That's that fat guy who was with the hombre who jumped me for laying the whip under my mouth.
Señores! Señores! Whoa, Loco! You! The Señor Cisco hit!
That's right, Fatty.
Fatty! Look, señores, there's no time now to talk about this. Something very awful happened.
What?
Señor Bryant, he got trapped in a cave, was falling on top of him. You help get him out. Go get the shovels and the picks and ride to the cave. He not live very...
Shut up!
Santo, you pull a gun.
Get off that horse.
Oh, they found out.
You not sorry. This serious. They say you'll die soon.
Shut up.
But, Pancho, very sorry about that fight. We talk about it later. Right now, you better get...
Take his guns, Hump.
Do not take Pancho's guns. No, you...
Last you. Nobody jumps Jack Graff twice and gets away with it.
You, Graff.
All right, get him, Hump.
Turn him around. I'll get him all right.
Guess that'll take care of him.
And I'll make sure that he won't wake up.
If he ain't dead now, he's got a cast iron head. Look, if he came from that cave, that means his partner must be there.
Are we going back to the cave?
I'll say we're going back. I said I'd get even with that big sidewinder, and I sure will. But we won't use the butt end of the gun on this one. We'll gun him down. Let's go, Hump.
Here!
Never get Dad out unless we get some help
pretty quick. See, I know it, Chucky. But they will be coming pretty soon now. Pancho would be there. Look, here comes one man now.
It's Mr. Prentice. And he's got shovels, Cisco.
Who there?
Hurry, senor, hurry.
Here, take a shovel, stranger. I brought a couple. Ain't come to him yet.
Huh? No, not yet. Come on, dig.
Toward the top. You can break through here.
Dad, and he sounds closer.
We are getting to him.
Si, senor.
We'll get through to him quick now. Be less.
Here comes two more. It's Mr. Graff. And another one.
Graff? That hombre? Why, I... Get down, Chico.
They're fools. They're trying to kill us.
Yeah, they will not get far with that.
Cisco, you knocked Graff's hat off. They're turning off. They've had enough.
Hey, I will give them more of that later. Right now, come on, back to the digging. Come
right.
On, dig.
What do you think got into Graff? He was trying to kill us.
I do not know.
Hey, look, a hole. You're through. Dad.
See, you are all right, Sayer Bryant?
I can get out of here now.
Good, come on.
Thanks to you two, I'm still alive.
Here, come on. We can pull you out. A little more. Come on. There. Senor Bryant. How did this happen? What caused this slide?
It wasn't a slide. This entrance was blown close. I heard an explosion and then she caved in. It sure feels good. Chucky.
That explains why Graff tried to kill us then. He caused this because he did not want you to pay him what you owe.
Yes.
Chuck, you, senor, you take care of Brian now. I am going after a pair of coyotes.
Diablo!
He's gaining on us, Jack.
Those trees up ahead. Turn in. It's our only chance.
Yeah.
Hey,
shot the gun right out of my hand.
For daylight in my sombrero. We'll get him. He won't see us here, so we can gun him right out of his saddle.
Yeah, just let me get one shot at that coyote. Just one shot.
You'll get it all right. Make it count. We'll get... Hey. Look down the trail.
Hey, it's the fat one. He's coming. Why, I thought we killed him.
We've got to get them both now. All right, open up, Hump. Got him down.
Hey, they're coming too close. I quit. I'm through. Don't shoot. Don't shoot.
What do I say?
You have gunned someone for the last time, Graff.
Bless you. You think you're going to get me again? Have you been a chance?
I quit.
I've had enough. Oh.
Yeah, that takes care of that one.
And Pancho, take care of this hombre.
Madre mia, why did you do that, Pancho?
Pancho got good reason, all right. You see these two bumps on Pancho's head?
Santo, si, amigo.
That hombre do this. But Pancho could even with him. Pancho give him one bump as big as these two.
Will never bother us again, Cisco?
Oh, I am positive. He and the other bandito are in jail now, Chico, and they will stay there for a long time to come. That hombre has gotten away with a lot of things around here, but when he tried to kill your father, he went one step too far. You need never worry about him again.
I'm glad, Cisco.
Now, what are you thinking about?
Supper. I'm hungry.
So is Pancho, Chico. We stop right here and cook some food, no?
Let's go on home and eat.
But there is no use doing that, is there? We can eat here and then take you home. Pancho and I are both good cooks.
Yeah, but I bet you aren't as good at cooking as my Aunt Martha.
Your Aunt Martha?
Yeah, my mother's sister. She's the best cook in the world. And she's awful pretty, too.
She's staying at your house?
Yes, Cisco. So you come home with me and eat. Dad would want you to anyhow.
This aunt of yours, Chucky, she's married?
Oh, no. You'd like her, Cisco. She's the prettiest person I've ever seen.
Madre mía, all of a sudden I am very, very hungry. I can hardly wait. Up, diablo, come on.
Go, logo. Cisco hungry for kisses.
Si, Pancho.
Why we leave Meadville so soon?
You are too tired to travel, amigo?
Too full.
Of what?
Tortillas, enchiladas, and tamales. That señorita Mata. Oh, the beautiful cook.
See.
Do you like the tortillas she make?
Oh, see. They are so blue.
See, they're very difficult. Blue tortillas, Cisco?
See.
Oh, Cisco, you're not talking about the tortillas she make, but the eyes she make. Why, Cisco?
Because the eyes she makes are so much better.
How'd you make eyes, Cisco?
Like this.
That's not making eyes, that's making face.
Well, then, like this, then.
A face like this is better than a tortilla.
Si, Pancho.
Well, Pancho knows something now, I think.
Bueno, what do you know now, amigo?
Why, Cisco loses his heart when he sees the face what making eyes.
Why, amigo?
Because the face what make eyes make Pancho lose his appetite.
Oh, Pancho.
Oh, Cisco.
Up the arrow.
Go, 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 go.
And so ends another thrilling adventure with O. Henry's famous Robin Hood of the West, the Cisco Kid. Be sure to listen again for another thrilling adventure of the Cisco Kid. Cisco Kid was played by Jack Mather, Pancho by Harry Lang.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with the Cisco Kid starring Jack Mather and Harry Lang. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at this same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.